Thank you for that, Anna. Appreciate that. That's a great song. We're going to look, if you'll look on the song sheets, you also have notes for tonight there. So you can grab those. We do hand those out on Thursday night. I would like you to go through those. It kind of helps us to go through here a little bit faster, a little bit more concentrated if you have those. A couple things before we get started. We just want you to make sure as we're meeting together and we're looking forward to the new building and things changing and getting better, let's make sure that we are staying safe, as Brother Jim mentioned. I just want to make sure I try to be as safe as possible with us meeting. And I mean, we've had several times in our church since we started meeting together where people call and say, you know, hey, they just told me somebody at my work, has the virus. And they're making us get tested, and my standard answer is, you can't come until you get your test, and it comes back negative, okay? We're going to be very safe. And so we work hard to do that, and so let's make sure that we do stick with that. And so I appreciate you being here tonight, though. But if we are clean and we're ready to go, let's be to church, and I appreciate those of you that are here, and let's make sure we do that. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do a little small, like, overview series on the book of Jonah. I've preached on Jonah before several years ago, and Jonah is a book that is just packed with truth. Literally, I could go through there and probably preach on Jonah for 20 weeks, really, if you think about it. Every verse, especially chapter 1 and some of the others, it's just like every verse you look at, there's like there's a message right there. There's something right there we can learn. So we're not going to do that. We don't have that kind of time right now. So we're just going to go through, briefly, the book about it. We're going to call this little mini-series Questions Answered, and you'll see why in a minute. But we're going to look at the first two chapters tonight, which answers questions about God's man. Okay? Of course, that man is Jonah. We will see how God tried to deal with him, how God tried to direct him, but Jonah responded by ditching God, just taking off. And so we'll look at that in the first two chapters. Next week, we'll look at the last two chapters, which will answer questions about God's plan, how God was able to work with the Ninevites people. And then he was trying to work with this prophet. The book of Jonah kind of ends with a little bit of confusion. And so we'll look at that. You know this, some of you probably have heard this story, but there was a lady on an airliner reading her Bible one day, and the man sitting next to her kind of laughed at her and said, "What are you doing, reading the Bible?" She goes, "Yes." He goes, "You don't believe the Bible, do you?" She goes, "Yes, I believe it." He goes, "You believe it's absolutely true?" And she goes, "Yes, I do." "You even believe that story that Jonah was swallowed by a whale?" And she goes, "I believe that." She goes, "How would that even work out?" She goes, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." She goes, "What if he's not in heaven?" She goes, "Then you can ask him, okay?" Now, that's mean. I would never say that. I would think it, of course. Many years ago, I mentioned several times, I read this book called How to Read a Book, and it mentioned that if you want to understand a chapter in a book, you're trying to get the most you can out of it, focus on the first paragraph and the last paragraph of the chapter, because the first paragraph kind of encapsulates what they're trying to teach you in that chapter, and the last paragraph of the chapter kind of summarizes the main truth, and you kind of get what's going on. Several years ago, as I was reading the book of Jonah, I don't even know how I noticed. I kind of noticed that if you look at the first verse of each chapter and the last verse of each chapter, you kind of see what's going on there, and then the rest of the chapter fills in the details. And so what we'll do is we'll look at chapter 1 and 2 tonight, and that's how we're going to tackle it. Tonight, now it's all about Jonah, it's his book, I get it. But we see in the first two chapters, God's man. God's trying to get Jonah to do something, and we see the story about what God has to do to finally get Jonah to go to Nineveh. And then next week, we'll look at chapter 3 and 4 when he actually did go to Nineveh, and we see God's plan and how that worked out there with the Ninevites, and then God had to deal with Jonah again. And so we'll look at that next week. But this week, we're looking at questions answered about God's man, Jonah. And so we'll look at each chapter has a main question we're going to look at. Let's look at chapter 1. The main question here is, how was God's will evaded? Okay? Obviously, God wanted something done, And Jonah struggled to make that happen. Look at the first and last verse, and you kind of see what was going on. First verse, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, so God speaks to him. Then you look at the last verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So the first verse says God came to him to speak to Jonah. Now typically in the Old Testament, when God spoke to his prophets, he was either either directing them or teaching them something or telling them to go do something. And so that's what he is. So verse 1, we find out God's talking to Jonah. So there's something God had for Jonah. And yet if you just look at the last chapter, it's like something went horribly wrong. Something happened to keep Jonah from doing what God spoke to him about, to where now he's in judgment. And that's what I want us to look at. Jonah had his own plans, and he did not want to follow God's plans. I think you have some blanks there. Jonah decided, and we, by the way, we already know the story, what God wanted Jonah to do to go to Nineveh. But Jonah decided that it would be okay for him to evade God's will and to move on with his own will. Let me just say something, and we'll look at the verses here in a minute, but that is a struggle for all Christians. Yeah. We just have trouble following what God says. Yes, it's just huge. It's just a huge problem for us. Because we have our own will, and we think we know what's best for ourselves, and we hear what God says, and we sing the song, trust and obey. We say we trust the Lord with our life, but sometimes when push comes to shove, we ditch what God wants and we do what we want. That's what Jonah is going to do. By the way, God's people do this all the time. Say, how do you know that? I've been a pastor for a while. I've been working with people for a while longer. We make our own plans without ever consulting God's word or praying about finding his will. And I hesitate to even say that, because a lot of times we pray, but we're not sincere about it, and we're just basically looking to do our own thing. Now, I will say this, and this isn't the message tonight. When you're making a huge plan, when you're making plans, a huge thing in your life, it would not hurt you to talk to somebody about it. Too many times, we don't do that. Now, if you've been here any length of time, you know how I feel about counsel. I'm okay with counsel. I'm not okay with counseling. There's very few situations I believe we ought to meet together all the time. Now, there are some. Okay? But the fact of the matter, and by the way, if you've been in my office and talked to me, I'm not God. And I know some, and I'm not criticizing them, but I know some, they try to overstep, I think, to me, their pastoral authority. And, you know, I know people, they used to go, Pastor, should I buy a car? Look, you don't need to come counsel with me to buy a car. As long as it's not a Ford, go for it. Okay, if you can afford it and you need it, and it's not just something blowing now, if you need help, if you're saying, hey, can you look at my budget or something? I mean, I know a little about money or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, I want you to go look at this house. Should I buy it? If you can afford it, it's not, if you say, hey, what do you think about the area? That's one thing. But I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not. But sometimes it is good to run ideas by people to find out, am I missing something? And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times people don't want that because they're afraid that something might be said that'll turn their plans upside down. And by the way, let me say this, because sometimes people come in, and not just me, this used to happen in the days of pastor, they'll come in and talk to the pastor, and they'll go out and say, no, I got counsel about that. Well, no, if you come in and just say what you're doing and inform, that's not counsel. That's information. Okay, and that's fine. If you're doing something you just want to tell me about, it's fine. But don't go tell people I counseled you to do something if you just told me about it. Okay, we got that. Get off our chest. And by the way, I'm not going to be here, hey, line up in my office after church. I don't want you to line up in my office after church, because then you come by and say, my dog's got a spot on his neck. What should I do? I'm just going to say, put it down and move on. Just kidding. Okay, but it doesn't hurt to say, hey, am I missing something? Is there something you see or something we should look at? And then that's that. Okay. But Jonah is like a lot of us, okay? We're really good at talking ourselves into our own will when we don't want to do God's will, and Jonah made the mistake. So let me give you a couple of thoughts under this, evading God's will. Letter A, it starts when we know precisely what God's plan is. This is how it started for Jonah. Verse 1 again. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now Jonah didn't need counsel. Okay, Jonah didn't need to pray about this. God told him very specifically what he was supposed to do. There wasn't any wiggle room. God didn't say, hey, pray about going to Nineveh. No, God said, all right, Jonah, here we go. You're the prophet. You're God's man. You're going to go. Jonah didn't feel led to go. Now, if you've heard anything about the book of Jonah, you already know the Ninevites were very cruel people. They didn't like the Israelites, and they were just cruel. And they had no problem killing people, and when they take over cities, they would do horrific things so that to strike fear into the other enemies they might be fighting. And so Jonah was, his fears, human fears of that, were not unfounded. But God told him to go. And Jonah decided he did not want to go. By the way, let me say, when God tells you to do something specifically in the Bible, you don't need to pray about it. Okay? That's just very simple. By the way, why is it that the things that the Bible state to us are very, how come we put those up for debate or put them up for, when God said it, I don't have a choice in the matter. You know, I'll talk to people sometimes like, well, do you really believe that? I'm like, well, I have to. It's in the Bible. There's no wiggle room there. Okay, and so that's a good place to be. But Jonah struggled with that. He knew exactly what God wanted to do, and yet he still chose to do his own thing. That causes troubles. How did it cause trouble for him? Well, letter B. It started when he knew precisely what God wanted, what God's plan was. But letter B is, it continues when we start to formulate our own plan. Verse 3, but, that means that something's going to happen different than what just was stated, okay? And that's what we got here. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What a silly thought that he could do that. And went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. By the way, I think he's going to find out later on that God's presence was actually in the middle of the ocean waiting for him. Okay? But he tried to get away. But you know what? What happened here? Look at the little bullet point. He was encouraged to find out there was a boat waiting. Right? Like, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I've got my own plan. I'm moving on. And he goes down there, and there's a boat. There's a ship. It's working out. It's just where I want to go, opposite of where God told me to go. So often, we think that a circumstance dictates what we should do, and a circumstance doesn't necessarily dictate what we should do. Yep. Well, it just seems to be working out. Okay, but is it God's plan? Or was it your plan? See, we don't look at the circumstances surrounding our life and say, based on circumstances, what will I do? Sometimes people get pack up and they'll move to another part of the country just because they felt there was a better job there, or someone told them they could buy a house there. I always pick on Wichita. It just sounds bad. Wichita. Okay. Now, if God wants you to go do something in Wichita, go do something in Wichita. But just because something worked out there doesn't mean it's God. You still might want to pray about it and figure out. And they'll move somewhere, and there's not even a good church anywhere nearby, but they'll talk themselves into it. You know? So be very careful. What does God want you to do? Don't just look at what's going on. Because of circumstance. And sometimes we make a decision because of circumstances. In other words, we feel pressure because of what's going on in our life, so we just get this mentality, I got to do something. That's bad too. It's better to do nothing than to do the wrong thing. And so let's be careful about that. Then secondly, the next little bullet, he was clueless to the fact that his plan took him downward. It's funny. Bible says, and this is all, you know, picturing, he rose up to flee from God. And then the next words are like down, down, and down. Was it just geographically down? Yeah, but also it was spiritually down. How do you know that? From the presence of the Lord is mentioned twice. Whenever you're fleeing from God's presence, from what God wants you to do, or you're doing your own thing, you're always going downward. So let's make sure we do the right thing, and it's not just our own thing. Letter C, it falters when we have executed the substituted plan. He substituted his own plan, and he's going through with it, and now it starts to falter. Verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Boy, if he followed circumstances the first time because the boat was ready, circumstances now said, uh-oh. But let me just say this. Sometimes we follow God and that we get into some adverse circumstance. That's because God's just trying to bring us to where he wants us to be. The circumstances don't really make the difference. The thing is this what God wants? But this storm, we're going to see, was more than just a building block on the way to where God wants him to be. It's actually a stop sign to keep him from going where he was going. Let me give you a couple thoughts under this. Initially, he had peace about the plan. Now look at this. Okay, here we go. So he's in the ship. It's starting to really take this storm, and things are starting to look a little iffy. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Now, I always, okay, whenever I read something like that, I stop. I'm like, who are the mariners? They're not some lame baseball team that's probably going to kneel during the national anthem from Seattle. Okay? These are professionals. That's like, these guys, it's what they did for a living. They lived on the water. Okay? Now, if a first-time passenger on the ship gets a little nervous, it's okay. But when the guys that work for a living on the ship are nervous, you better be nervous. The mariners knew that there was something different about this storm. But where's Jonah? Then the mariners were afraid, verse 5, and cried every man unto his God. I'm like, prayer meeting. But there was a wrong God. It was a little G. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship. They didn't have faith. They had faith in works, okay? They prayed to their God, but they took throwing stuff out of the ship to keep it from sinking too fast, to lighten it of them. But where was Jonah? The man of God. The prophet. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now, the mariners are up on the deck praying to false gods and working their brains out to keep the ship from going down, and here's Jonah sleeping. He had peace about what he was doing. You ever hear someone say, you know, I just made this decision and I just have a peace about it. Well, that's good. You know, you can have peace about the wrong thing. See, emotions, you don't make decisions based on your emotions. I have heard all kinds of nonsense from people that say, I prayed about it and I have peace about it. That just means you've come to terms with doing your own thing and ditching God's a lot of times. And by the way, I understand peace. Peace is something we're supposed to have, but peace is also something we can talk ourselves into. Yep. I'm just telling you. Jonah had a peace, but he was also going to have a problem. Look at the next little bullet. There's a problem with his plan. Problem. You know what the problem was? And here it is. He left God out in the storm. The unsaved mariners are praying to their God. And Jonah, when all this is going on, who should have been praying and figuring out what's going on, he does get it later, but they had to wake him up. Jonah, he's doing nothing. Right? Say, well, how can Jonah leave God out in the midst of a storm and be like that? Because he thought he had left God when he got on the ship. At Joppa. Because wasn't he trying to flee from the presence of the Lord? So he's in the ship, and he's peaceful. He's doing his own thing. I don't have to go to Nineveh, and he thinks everything's okay. He doesn't need God in the storm because he had fled from God. We do that. We get so caught up in what we're doing, even when things sometimes start to go sideways, we still don't get it. Now, he is finally going to get it. Because once we bypass God's direction in our life, we forget him in the problems of life because we've already ditched him. And then lastly, letter D under this, it crashes when we finally comprehend the disastrous plan. Now look at verse 7. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for what cause this evil is upon us. And so they cast lots. It's kind of like throwing dice. And the lot fell upon Jonah. It was just arbitrary. It's like, all right, Jonah, what happened? And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, from whence cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? In other words, tell me your story. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. Okay, here we go. You ready? And I fear the Lord. Apparently he did not. The God of heaven, which made the sea and dry land. It's amazing how we can use spiritual talk when we're in a wrong place. Well, that's a message for another day. And where are we at? I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Oh, he made the sea, all right. He's figuring that one out. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said, why hast thou done this? For the men knew he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He told them, I'm running from God. And then two and two kicks in now. This storm's because of me. And so he tells them, they say, what shall be done that the sea may be calm? Verse 12, and they said, he said, take me up, cast me in the sea, and it'll be calm. He says, throw me overboard. Now these, I'm just telling you what I would do. If I'm a professional mariner, the ship's going down, this guy's telling me it's because of what he did, and he says, throw me overboard, I'm like, I got his legs, someone grab his arms. But you know what these guys did? If you read the other verses, they still tried to get the ship without throwing him overboard. They had compassion. And then finally they're like, oh, well, we tried that. That didn't work. And, you know, one, two, three, whew, over he went. He realizes, but it's too late. It's too late. The fish is waiting. The dinner is being served, and it's him. You see, things may seem to be going well from you when you're doing your own thing, but let me just tell you something. If it's not God's will, it's going to eventually blow up. It's going to eventually come back to roost. If we're doing our own thing and we're ignoring everything God's telling us, then it's going to come back to get us. Let's be very careful about that. The point, really, of this whole chapter is it didn't have to come to this. It didn't. And so we see what happens when we do our own thing and ditch God's. Now, chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2. Let's answer this question. How is God's forgiveness expressed? Now, where do we get that from? Let's just take a look at the first and last verse again, and then we'll fill in the details. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not. But I'm telling you, Brother Ron, I would have prayed while I was still in the ship. Like, Lord, if I would have told the mariners, like, hey, maybe if we just turn around and go back, you guys will be okay. He didn't even think to pray. He just said, chuck me overboard. Give him credit, he wasn't a sissy. Now he prays. Okay. Now, by the way, you can pray anywhere, amen? Yeah, you don't have to be on your knees in front of your couch or, you know, with your Bible wide open. He prayed right there. So he prays. Then look at the last verse, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. I always find that funny. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You know, Jonah didn't listen when God spoke, but the fish did. And I think there's a couple other things God speaks to that aren't even real, that aren't even people, and they listen, but Jonah... It's like us. Let's not just jump Jonah overboard. It's us, right? It's us. Okay. I would hope, and I know I haven't always. I hope I would listen to God more than a fish. But so what happened? Apparently, something happened for him to get out of the fish's belly. He obviously prayed to God and God did something. We see that. So from looking at the first and last verse, this is on your notes, we see that he is firmly in the belly of the fish at the beginning and freely on dry land at the end. Something got corrected in between, and that's good. Now, how does that happen? Let me give you a couple thoughts about that. We'll be done. First, A, he had to recall how he got there. Okay. He had to recall how he got there. How did he get there? Well, because he experienced consequences. Where's Jonah praying to? Out of the fish's belly. Hey, that was a wonderful reminder that he did wrong. That was just God's way of saying, you're here because you didn't listen. See, we're not going to go to God and get forgiveness and get things right until we realize that we're at where we're at because we've done wrong. Amen. See, and again, I'm getting on us because we're human. Amen. Guys especially, we're stubborn. Some more than others.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we'll just keep soldiering on. I mean, things aren't going right, but it's like, it's going to work out. Don't worry about it. No, something's wrong. That's why when we put stuff together without a instruction manual, it's like, no, this will fit. Trust me. IKEA, listen, they don't even give you words. Torque, tail, the names of the things confuse me. But we just think, I'll just make it work. You know, maybe, guys, it's not working because we're not following the instructions. How many of you ever done that? I have.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, look at this. They gave us extra pieces. It's like, something's wrong, okay? But that's how we are. We keep soldiering on. But he experienced the consequences. And now he knows he needs God's forgiveness. Let's give him credit for that. Look at the little thing I put there. It's better to avoid the consequences of an action than to seek deliverance from them. Now, by the way, seek deliverance. Don't let Satan tell you, you deserve this. You should have listened in the first place. That's my job to say that to us. But hey, once we're there, let's get out of it. It's better to get out of it right now, right? But I'll tell you what's best, to never get into it.
Amen.
Let's avoid it in the first place. Let's have enough faith in God to say he knows what's best. Let me try to follow what he's saying so I don't get myself into these situations. But it was too late for him. But he had to recall. And let me just say that, yeah, but he got out. Can you imagine what 3 days in a belly's fish will make you look like? There was probably a reason when he came into town to preach, they listened. Spirit of God, yeah, and he looked awful. He looked awful. So he was healed, but the damage that was caused those 3 days were still there. We're going to see that in chapter 3 when all the Ninevites repent. All the Ninevites listen to the message. And that was a huge city, except for all those that died those 3 days. And you can factor it out. There was quite a few. A city that size. Plus what he did to himself. There was still damage. So you have to recall how you got there because of he experienced consequences and because he experienced misery. Look at verse 2. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction of the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. It wasn't in hell, but I'll tell you what, that's probably the closest thing you can get to it. Right? I mean, that was a bad thing. You ever hear someone, I've had people, if you go soul winning, if you've ever went soul winning at all, if you go for a while, you're going to hear someone use this phrase. Like how you can, you know you'll go to heaven and escape hell. Like, oh, hell's on this earth.
Yep.
Oh, maybe in some lives, but I'll tell you what. Hell, real hell is nothing to compare to what's going on here. But in a sense, he was in distress. He was in misery, and I get it. And that led him to think about why he was there. The prison, the little quote there, the prison of our discontent is built by our own actions. The pain we inflict upon ourselves is the worst pain of all. We can't control what goes on around us. We can't control what society or the world does. But I'll tell you what, we can control our actions. And when we experience those type of things because of our actions, that's the worst pain of all. And then because he experienced separation. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now, wait a minute, Jonah. Okay, let's think about this. Isn't that what he wanted in the first place? Yeah. Didn't he say, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord twice? He even told the mariners, I'm fleeing the presence of the Lord. And he got it. And he says, I'm cast out of your sight. Let me just tell you something. No, he wasn't. He was there because he cast God out of his sight, not because God cast him. We get that confused. Yeah, he was cast out of God's sight, but was because of what he did. God, he wasn't just serving God one day and God said, yeah, you. He got there on his own. Separation. He got what he wanted, but he didn't want what he got. By the way, we'll be like that if we do our own thing. Letter B, gotta hurry. He had to respond in the correct way. He had to respond in the correct way. So he realizes why he's there. That'll lead him to ask God for help. And then he has to respond in the right way. What is the right way? Well, with the right perspective. He says, then said I am cast out of thy sight. We discussed that. Then he says, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Now we understand the significance of that as a Jew. God told them when they built the temple, hey, if you're in trouble, okay, if you're in trouble and you're going to pray, pray towards the temple. Lord, I'm here. I have problems, Lord. And he was getting right with God. He had the right perspective. He's now starting to do the things to get out of the situation that God prescribed for them to do. And so he prays towards the temple. Here's a thought when we're in trouble. You ready? If disobedience started the problem, obedience will stop it. Amen. See, here's what we do. We get in trouble because of our disobedience, and we want help getting out of the trouble. We don't want help getting out of what we did that brought us to the trouble. You understand that? Yeah. That's like saying, I wanna trim the bad fruit off the tree, but we don't want to get to the roots. You know, that's like getting rid of weeds with the weed whacker. It doesn't work. That's surface. The weeds are gone. But yet, what's going to happen? Because we didn't get to the roots, they're going to be right back up. We just got rid of the fruit of the root. We got to get rid of the root. And so if the root was disobedience, then let's get back at obedience. Amen. And so he's starting in a small way to do that. Okay, Lord, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm praying towards your temple. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, how he found it in the belly of the fish, I don't know. Realize this. God's help usually comes with instructions attached. See, we get ourselves into trouble because we've forsaken God's will. We ask for forgiveness. God gives us forgiveness, but he also wants us to forsake what we're doing. And so he says, here, now get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's not just, I've forgiven for it. Well, that's great. But God didn't just forgive him to forgive him. God forgave him so he can have his second chance. We think confessing our sins is just telling God, yeah, I got busted. I did it. And I know you know, I'm sorry. No, no, no. Confession of sin is deeper than that. Confession of sin is when you come to God and said, I did wrong, and I know I did wrong, and I agree with you that that sin is wrong. That's a whole different animal. He also came with the right spirit. Down in verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now, he's still in the belly. Okay? He's still in the belly. And he says, I'll come to you with the voice of thanksgiving. So he realizes, to me, that he's there because it's of his own deal, and he's asking God to forgive him, and he's to the point like, you know, Lord, it's not, he didn't blame God. I'll come to you with the voice of I'll sacrifice of thanksgiving because you are worthy to be thanked. I'm not here because of you. I'm here because of me, and you are still worthy. Amen. That's a good spirit to come with. That's a spirit that says that he's going to do what he's supposed to do. Now, we're going to see in chapter 4, he did do it, but he had a little issue. He also came with the right commitment. Verse 9, I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Okay? He's a prophet. He's following God. He's committed to God. He's like, all right, we'll follow through now. A prophet of God, you're going to do everything I bid you to do. Let's go. And you see that in Ecclesiastes, when thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which I was vowed. And then lastly, of course, he gets out. He had to resolve not to end up there again. He had to resolve not to end up there again. Now, these are just some closing thoughts I want to give you. So what do we do if we have deviated in our life from God's will and we're coming back to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. And you get that whole thing fixed. Okay? I think there's three things you should resolve to do. First is obey immediately. Amen. Just get in the habit of saying, Lord, if you say it, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it right away. No debate. Why is it that Christians want to debate everything? Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to do this? Or why does God want we debate? Why don't we just say, hey, God said it. I don't have to understand it, but I'm in. Yep. By the way, as a new Christian, that's where we typically end up. Now, as a new Christian, I was learning all kinds of things, and I'm like, I am totally on the wrong side of everything. But I'm like, you know, God said it. And so I know that God's true, so let me just get on board with it. Obey immediately. You know the best prayers for help are the ones you don't have to make. Good, those are the best ones. Yeah, good. I'd rather pray for preventive maintenance than damage control. There you go. Yeah. Sounds like someone that knows what you're talking about. Just kidding. I know. You were so close. Easy target. All right. Secondly, stay close. Stay close. Stay close. When your goal is to flee from the presence of the Lord, I'm just going to say, you got issues. You got issues. He wasn't just fleeing God's command. He was fleeing God because God gave the man command. You know what will help us to obey God's word and find his will for our life? Because we're just so close to him. It's like, Lord, I'm so close to you. It's just easy for me to want to do what you want me to do. See? Stay close. Don't let anything get you in between you and your God. And then lastly, and we're going to see this next week, love others. You know what the issue that caused him to disobey and not go where God wants him to go? He didn't want the Ninevites to receive God's grace. He wanted them to be punished. Now, he gets over every single thing here. Except for that, he still struggles with it. He says, Lord, I'll do your will. I'll follow you. But he struggles with that aspect. And guess what? We're going to see that next week. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for loving us. And I thank you for several things. I thank you that you have a will for us. In other words, you have a laid out plan for our life. Of course, it's laid out in the Word of God, but also as we live our life. And Lord, we're so glad, and I'm glad for that. And I pray you would help us to have the strength to fight ourselves when we naturally want to fight that. I pray you'd help us. And then Lord, if we've struggled and maybe we've deviated a little bit from that, I pray you'd help us to very, very quickly get back. So Father, we can avoid any further damage. Bless us now, Lord, as we go our way until we meet on Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.